Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
So Bank of America has made a decision that by 2021, they're going to raise their minimum wage to $20 an hour. It's not bad. Bad for them. It's going to come off their bottom line. It's not going to take much of a hiccup in the markets or in the financial sector in particular. And if we have a hiccup in the markets, that's who it's going to attack. The most, that he's going to be thinking, oh, my word, what have I done? But good for people going to work there right out of school to know that you can get a job as a teller and make $40,000 a year. Not bad. And all the benefits. But, you know, we've seen all of Monahan would be considered, in my book, a liberal, you know, talking about we've got to have a living wage. We hear all the politicians on the left talking about living wage. That was President Obama's mantra. We got to have a living wage. You know why we needed to have that living wage and raise minimum wage? Because they had no capability of creating any jobs. So they couldn't create jobs, so they needed to create a living wage, which is true when you can't create jobs or an environment in which jobs are created is a better way of putting it. So in lieu of trying to create an environment of where jobs are created, let's just order a living wage so people can live. A minimum wage was not designed for people to raise a family on. It may sound harsh to a lot of people, but it is the truth. The idea of it was so that one could be at a place where they would have opportunity to move up. It was a stepping stone. It was the first rung of a ladder. However you want to describe it, Bank of America thinks differently. He needs to understand that he's not in the automobile business working with unions. He's forgotten that, I guess. But anyway. All right. Of course, we're watching Israelis as they go to the poll. This would be a record reign. I think this would be Netanyahu's fifth term. That would be a record for Israel. He sure has given them a lot of reasons to stay. Look, one thing for certain is nobody can deny his strength and his willingness to, at all costs, protect the nation and its people. And in a place like Israel, that ought to carry some weight. But is it a very liberal country? They lie between enemies on all sides. And are they naive and liberal enough to believe that if they just love on the world that hates them, that they will be okay? Doesn't work that way. It's never going to work that way. But anyway. 844-707-5533. You can queue your call up. We've got a line open. We've got an ag report coming up as well. Craig Haggart's going to be with us with his ag report. I still have not found job openings reports. They were supposed to be out just a little bit ago, and I suspect, and we'll get Ian on it, he can look it up, but I would expect that they're going to stay somewhere close, relatively close to the 7.6 million, but it would be interesting to see if that number has changed any, and we'll try to find that. What is it, Ian? 7.1. Wow. If you would have told me that number is going to be 7.1, I would say that's almost impossible. That's a half a million. That's a half a million jobs. I mean, that's pretty amazing. So now a lot of that is people removing the opening, and that could have a lot to do with it. So a lot of it could be we are at a place where December graduates graduation are now finding those jobs, and you could be seen cranking up for those people that are coming out of graduating from college in May, next month, that have already gotten a job or gotten a commitment to get a job and to have a job, and that job taking off the market. So there could be some of that. So I'll tell you one thing, it makes me feel a little better when I make a statement that I made on my website in the commentary section. If you're a partner, I made a statement in reference to earnings and earnings reports, and believing that we are still going to see organic growth within companies, not false positives, but real positives within the earnings reports as they're put out. This would maybe confirm a little bit of that. All right. Ag report coming up. Then we're getting right back to phones after Craig. And we'll be staying with phones after that. Here's Craig Haugert with our Ag Report. We'll be back right after this.
This is Craig Haugert with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, yesterday's ag markets were quiet as we saw position evening ahead of today's USDA report. The corn market traded lower on position squaring ahead of today's report. Well, weekly export inspections came in at 40.8 million bushels, which was at the low end of trade expectations. The market doesn't seem too worried about the wet weather forecast for parts of the upper Midwest, as most traders seem to believe it's still too early to get excited about planting delays. After the close, we received our first planting progress report of the year, with corn seen as 2% planted nationwide, which is right in line with the five-year average. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading a half cent lower. Soybeans traded both sides as funds got their positions where they want them to be ahead of today's report. Weekly export inspections of 32.6 million bushels was at the upper end of the range of trade expectations. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading unchanged. The wheat market traded lower on technical selling and ideas that the Canadian farmers could switch acres from canola to spring wheat. The weekly export inspections came in at better than expected 19.8 million bushels. After the close, the Crop Progress and Conditions Report pegged the spring wheat crop at 1% planted, while saw the condition of the winter wheat crop as 60% good to excellent. Now, that's up 4% from last week and much better than the five-year average of 43% good to excellent at this point in the calendar. In the overnight trade, Chicago and Kansas City are both trading 6 cents lower on the heels of that good to excellent percentage, while Minneapolis is down a half cent. Cotton futures pressed higher once again, with May futures up 67 points to settle at 78.92. The planting progress report is showing 6% of the nation's crop now planted, which is slightly ahead of the five-year average. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading 21 points higher. Livestock futures fought to a split decision, with cattle higher and hogs lower. June live cattle futures ended the day 22.5 cents higher, while May feeder cattle ended the session up 35 cents. May lean hogs gave up some ground as they finished $1.55 lower for the day. Class 3 milk futures experienced a setback, with May futures down 4 points to close at 15.72. In the overnight trade, spot futures are up a point. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes $1.74 higher at $2.28.67, while selects were up 60 cents, settling at $2.20.88. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed $1.45 higher for the day as they settled at $83.29. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. Welcome to all of you. Listen, I want to mention a couple things to you. Please pay attention to our asset allocation models if you're a partner. And one of the parts that I really want you to pay attention to and think about, look, we've got to be thinking about permanent income. It's so critically important. I've been talking about it at every single town hall meeting that I've given and every single financial seminar that I've given in the last 25 years. It is critically important. And you ought to be considering as a part of your income security a charitable gift annuity or maybe a charitable trust. So if you need more information, you can email me here. You can go to the website at financialissues.org. Or go to AFAFoundation.net, AFAFoundation.net, and get information about it. You owe yourself at least get some information. Not for all your money. It's not for half your money. It's not for a quarter of your money. It's just like the rest of my asset allocation model. It is for a small percentage. As if you look at the diversification chart, you will see a small percentage for that. And that's what it's for. It's a small percentage. You have energy stocks. You have material stocks and industrial stocks and on it goes. That's just another small piece of the pie. And you can get more information at AFAFoundation.net, AFAFoundation.net, or call the AFA Foundation. You can just call them and you'll get a real live person. 800-326-4543. 800-326-4543. Now, as soon as the phone picks up, just push 345. You don't need to listen to the message. Just push 345. That's the extension, and that'll put you into the foundation. 800-326-4543. Extension 345. I hope you'll do that. All right, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Charles from West Virginia. Hey, Charles.
Hi, Dan. Give my best to Yvonne.
I will. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. I have my wife's deceased husband put a bunch of money in Allianz.
Uh-huh.
Life insurance company. Well, it's not doing anything. And we have to draw from that maybe every other year just for our emergencies and stuff.
Sure, sure.
But I've got 75% in the blended index and 25% in fixed interest. Should I transfer this to a IRA?
It's an IRA account, Charles?
It is?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
Is it? I don't know. I mean,
no,
do you know?
No, it's not.
It's not. No. No, you don't want to put it in an IRA account. You wouldn't be able to anyway, because you can only put so much in there, and it's, you would have to start a new one, and you would be limited as to how much you could put in. And I wouldn't want you to do that, because then you've got all these other requirements that you got to meet. So I'd rather you stay away from it. But there's a couple of things that you can do with it. I mean, one thing is, I was just talking about a charitable gift annuity with some of it. Just so now the downside to that charitable gift annuity is you've got to get You got to start taking an income from it. And, you know, so once you start, then, you know, that's, I mean, you don't have to start immediately. You could wait until you first need it. But the nice thing is you could get an income that is never going to change for the rest of your lives. And you could just put that into savings when you're not using it. And then when you need a little bit, you could take it out of savings. That's one option. And I wouldn't do it with all of it, but I would probably do it with a piece of it. The other thing you can do is put it over into an income fund that is going to produce a little income every month or every quarter or once. Well, we'll just say every year for the sake of conversation. And then you can do the same thing with that. You can accumulate that in your savings account and you could do that. So that would be the other option. I would like to see it in something that is actually generating the income that you draw every other year or so that is going to generate that, so you don't have to kind of dip into principal for it, you know.
Right.
So
that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. So that would be a good good thing to do. I would tell you to wait until the first part, the end of this month, and I'll be able to give you something that is not available just yet. So, but it's going to produce, an income on a very regular basis, maybe monthly. And then you could take a look at that. That would be certainly one option. I don't know that it would be the only option, probably some other things. But maybe if you email me or something, I think I might have your email, Charles, but you might want to just email me. Give me your contact but we'll wait until the end of the month before you do anything. But definitely want you to transfer out of there.
Hey, I do too. What's your email?
Just Dan@financialissues.
Okay.
And just put Charles from West Virginia. I'll know who it is.
Okay. That's what I want to do. I want to get it out here, too, because it's not doing nothing.
Yeah.
And when we need some money, we have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah.
And then it never recoups.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think you ought to do.
Okay.
All right, Charles. Thank you, brother. I sure appreciate it.
Have a blessed week.
You, too. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Let me go to Jim in Illinois. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Jim.
Got one question about combining some investment accounts.
Okay.
I have an old Fidelity account, a managed account, one of theirs.
Uh-huh.
Now that I am 60, I would like to get that biblically responsible.
Okay.
I also have a rollover 401k account that has not had any money added to that in more than 5 years. Would there be any reason I could not start transferring the Destiny account or the Fidelity account over to the rollover IRA?
Well, is the Fidelity an IRA?
Oh, yes, it is.
It is. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. No, there's no reason at all that you can't do it and you should do it. So you should combine those because get them all in one pot so that you can properly diversify it. Someday when you have to take your minimum required distribution, you won't have to worry about getting calculations from two different places. It'll be there and you'll know exactly how much you've got to take. There's some benefits there and I would definitely combine those. And are you still working, Jim?
Yes, I am, but I'm not adding to those. I'm still doing my Roth IRA and I have a pension.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
I do want to get those over and then start getting them biblically responsible and adding them into my asset allocation.
Yeah, I think it's a great plan, and yes, you should definitely do it.
Okay, thank you so much and for everything you do.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jim.
Good day.
844-707-5533. We've got lines open, folks. 844-707-5533. And you know, so many people going to Samaritan Ministries, they are doing so many things that are going to be so good for all of us. But, you know, I just want to help you understand what a blessing that is. and I want you to save money. Of course, I want you to be the best steward you can be of your family's health care or yourself's health care. I want you to do that first and foremost. But I also want you to do it and put a little money in your pocket. And, you know, we're going to have a year here and there. You're going to have times when discretionary income is really important. And, man, I'd rather see you use that discretionary income to do the Lord's work as opposed to paying to an insurance company. Consider Samaritan. Whatever your fear is, you need, if you know me, if you've been a listener for a long time, trust me, I wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't something that I did myself, which I do. Not only do I do it, our employees here at the ministry do it. I would urge you to take a careful look at doing that. It's critically important. And you need to save the money, but it's become more important than ever. Republicans aren't going to fix our health care system anytime soon. Democrats only want to make it worse. You need to be in a place where you can dictate what doctor you go to, what specialist you go to, what hospital you go to, what state you do that in, what country you do that in, without any questions, without any referrals, without any, well, I got to check, are they in my network? It's so critically important that you can open up the whole world of healthcare to you and get the best care that you can. So check out Samaritan Ministries, folks. You can go to SamaritanMinistries.org. But I don't know, but I imagine all the healthcare systems are good. The health to share or the sharing ministries are all good, whether no matter who they are. Samaritan Ministries is the only one that opened up everything to me. It's the only one I was able to fully vet to my satisfaction. And they're the ones that I recommend. So that's who I speak of, obviously, when I talk about your need to be in health sharing. If you're already with the health sharing ministry and you're very happy with it, of course, don't change it. Just because I'm saying change it to Samaritan Ministries. I just want you to know that you need to have good, solid health care. We live in a very different environment. All right, I'm going to take a break. I got a break coming up, and then we're going to get right back to phones, 844-707-5533. We'll be back. You know, it's interesting on Twitter, I got so many retweets and comments on a tweet I put out yesterday in reference to Facebook, and I'm sure they don't like all the activity that it's gotten, but, you know, it was that article that was talking about the New Zealand privacy commissioner, whatever they called that person, a fellow by the name of John Edwards, who talked about morally bankrupt, pathological liars at Facebook, and they can't be trusted. So I made my comments, and I sent that article out. I've gotten so much on it. That's good to see. I'm glad people are jumping on that. Not that it matters a whole lot. I mean, they're going to continue to lie and do what they want, you know. But it is amazing that after all the congressional hearings and all of that Zuckerberg had went through didn't mean anything. Oh, it's just an algorithm. Well, fix it. Well, we can't, you know, it's artificial intelligence and all that. Well, then try to see if you can find some human intelligence that can monitor this stuff. But anyway, interesting. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Lynn from North Carolina.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I discovered you several months ago, and I called in immediately, and we became a partner immediately.
Wow.
Because we've both had really good jobs pretty much our whole career, and, you know, have kind of just depended on that because we're financially ignorant, but let me tell you, I've listened to your program as much every morning as I can. I appreciate it so much. So here's my question. Some years ago, we had a financial crisis, and my husband works for the state of North Carolina, and we pulled $20,000 out of his retirement, okay? Mm-hmm. So I am 70. I get Social Security, and I have a small business that I've had for 20 years, a small business on the side. Anyway, he is 63. He plans to work for the state for another 8 to 10 years, okay? I heard you say on another call about North Carolina's retirement system being pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's my question. We're in a position now to be able to put about $500 a month somewhere. We figured out that we could pay back what we had borrowed back to the state. We can make that arrangement. Or should we invest in something like the Timothy Plan or other stocks? We don't know what to do with this money.
Yeah, so I would get it into an investment account. So it's not an IRA account. It's, you know, it's just an investment account. It's a joint investment account. So it's okay. An account that you would open that would allow you to put this money in every month. It's going to accumulate. And I would say after about 4 months, I would look at the asset allocation model for 65 into retirement.
Right.
Unless you think that when you get you're getting Social Security, but when your husband's getting, does he collect Social Security yet, or is he waiting?
No. He's waiting. We're gonna wait.
So when he gets his Social Security and his pension, try to think a little bit. Are you gonna need income, you know, to supplement that income? In other words, you're gonna need a little extra. If you think that may be the case, then instead of doing the asset allocation model for your age, I would do the income asset allocation model. Even though you don't need it now, I would probably start building it now. You know what I mean?
Okay. Right.
So that would be one option. The other option would be just straight investments. I would also say to you, I have a partner. It's been a partner for a long time, and he's, I don't know. I don't want to age him any older than he is. But I'm guessing by now he's probably 80. And he told me some years ago. He said, "Look, I'm never ever going to need this money. I don't want to just be conservative." So he uses the 45 to 55 asset allocation model because, you know, he wants to be aggressive. He wants to have some stocks. He's been doing very well with it over the years. And I suspect, I haven't heard from him in a little bit, but I suspect he hasn't changed it. So if you are in that kind of position where you say, you know what, this is something that our heirs are going to end up with at some point in time, or our ministries or whatever it's going to be, and we don't really care that much. We're not going to need it to generate any kind of income, or we're never going to need it. We already have a savings or whatever. I would maybe drop down to a 55 to 65. Yeah. So it's a little bit more aggressive. So they would be your options. It really depends on what your thoughts are. And I know we don't really know, but you guys probably have a pretty good idea by now of how much income you'll have with pensions and Social Securities and things like that. So I would just try to take a look at that from a today's dollars standpoint and say, you know what, we'll be fine. You know, we've got some emergency savings and such, and we'll be okay. Then I'd probably be, you know, wouldn't do the income portfolio yet.
Okay. So you wouldn't put it back into the state?
No, I would not.
Nope. Okay.
No.
All right. Well, I'm glad I called you then.
Yeah, because he's probably been with the state for a while, right? I mean, he's...
Yeah. Going on 20 years.
Yeah. So, You know, I mean, you've got that. You've got Social Security. That's enough of money that you kind of don't have any control over. Does he have a 401k too? Did you tell me?
Have any of that?
No.
I did earlier in my career, but when this situation happened, just to be able to, and at that time we were, our girls were still at home, daughters, they're grown now. To just maintain till
sure.
we could
yeah.
get things
yeah.
stabilized again. So we lost mine. I had about $25,000, and we ended up using about $50,000 of savings, retirement money, which is a shame because looking back now that I know more about it, I'm thinking, good grief, we wouldn't have had to worry about anything right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because yeah. you're talking about over a 20-year period.
Right.
But
right.
but it is what it is, and
yeah.
so we're fortunate in that we live in the family home that's 116 years old, but in great condition, in a great location. And in our hometown, mm-hmm. we're back there now. So we're not going to have, other than maintenance on the house, which is shared by two other siblings, we're not going to have to worry about money going out for
sure.
a place to live kind of thing. So
yeah.
I just wanted to know what to do with this
yeah.
money that's going to
yeah.
be coming up available.
And if the money that you borrowed from the state is impacting your amount of money you're going to receive in retirement, then it may be worth paying that back. At $500 a clip, you should be able to get it paid back pretty quick. So that's kind of like paying for more income, and that would be I would consider a pretty good investment.
Okay, so.
But don't put anything beyond that. Once that's paid, I would strictly do investments.
Right. Well, I'm wondering if maybe to split it, in other words, we know it would only take about $200 a month between now and when he retires from the state to put all of that money back.
Okay. Well, that's great then. And put the other $300
in
the investment.
We still have $200 or $300 left.
Right.
We can do something else with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that would be going into that investment account. Yep.
Okay. All
yeah.
right. Great.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm glad you found us. Thanks, Lynn.
Yes, I am too. Thank you.
Good.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. God bless. 844-707-5533. We're coming up on a break, so we'll hold off. Folks, you know, we're doing a town hall meeting for partners, if you're a partner, and we're excited about that. So it's going to be a little bit of a test run as we do that. Live stream it. We're going to do it on a Saturday morning. We're excited about that. So that's coming up, and we'll give you more information as that happens. But as we get closer, so if you're a partner, you're going to be able to sit at your kitchen table on a Saturday morning with your computer and be involved in a town hall meeting. So we're excited about that. So I hope you'll stay tuned and look for that. Also, if you're a partner, would you please check the site today? Because I have something on the commentary that might be of interest to you. Also, we've got a conference call, partner conference call next Thursday. I mean, it's not a critical conference call. They're all important that you have to listen to, you know, within a couple of days just to be informed. So I want you to all listen to it before the end of the weekend, next weekend. But it is an important conference call. It is going to be a continuation of me laying out some strategies and thoughts. And got some changes that we're contemplating and making as we look at the data that we're doing analytical work on. And it couldn't be coming at a better time. If things change a little bit, I feel a little more of a sense of urgency, then we'll have a conference call before that. But right now, it's next Thursday. So if you're a partner, man, please make sure. You don't have to be on the call live, but make sure you listen to it when you get home from work on Thursday night. Financial Issues, I'm Dan Searle. We're going to get right back to phones. We've got a line open, 844-707-5533. We'll be right back.
A Over 60 years ago, a handful of Baptist ministers joined together to form a credit union whose mission was to help its members grow their money and become better stewards. Every time your ministry uses Christian Community Credit Union, it helps other ministries build churches, expand ministry, and reach out to the lost. Why not bank with a trusted partner that shares your values and beliefs? Christian Community Credit Union. Your money building God's kingdom.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
So Polly is asking me about a preferred stock that she can't find on the broad list. So possibly she missed an alert. Or I, not only did I send an alert out, I had it on my commentary section of my website for probably 3 or 4 weeks, but she missed that. So let me just go over it. There are several preferreds that you may own that are no longer on my broad list. Now, I'm not sure why you're going to the broad list to look for stocks. You shouldn't be, but nonetheless, if it's not on the buy list, that's all that should matter. But nonetheless, there are several, I think there were six preferred stocks that I took off my broad list. I took off my broad list for the reason that Polly just confirmed to me, that people go on the broad list looking for stocks. So I took it off because I didn't want anybody to buy it. And I know that people see return and they buy it anyway. And I can't force anybody to live by our strategy, but I can help it along a little bit when I feel it necessary. And that's what I did when I took them off. I'm still tracking them. They're still biblically responsible, and I don't want anybody to sell them. So it's not, if you own that already, it's fine. If you want to add to it, you own it already, that's fine. I just don't want new money going in to one of those preferreds. I took them off my buy list because of a change, because they no longer are cumulative in their interest, in what they are paying you every quarter. They no longer accumulate that. What that means is if for some reason, and I don't expect it, but if for some reason they cannot pay the dividend, the interest to you, tough break. You got to wait till next time. In other words, it's gone. You don't get it. So everything else I have on my list is cumulative. If they can't pay it this month, then they accumulate it and they wait, and you'll get double the next time they pay out, or triple if they wait another period. So it's cumulative. That is not the one that Polly pointed out to me, and that's why it's off my broad list, but I'm still tracking it and still watching it. If anything happens, it may end up back on my buy list, not too likely, or my broad list. Okay, so hopefully that answers a couple questions. Let me go to Cindy from Virginia. Hey, Cindy.
Hi, Dan. Let me explain my situation to you, and hopefully you can give me some really good counsel here. I'm a retiree with the federal government, and I currently still have my retirement money in the thrift savings account. Right now it's about 60% C, 40% G fund.
Okay.
And also I have investments with Merrill Lynch.
Okay.
And my financial advisor has advised me to roll that money over from the thrift account into a traditional IRA with Merrill Lynch, And I kind of am pondering that, you know, if I should do that or keep my money in the thrift savings but go more conservative, like more G rather than the C, since I am retired.
So I would say to you, normally, I would say to you, I would like you to roll that out into your own IRA so you have more options. But what I don't want to happen is you roll it to a advisor that could possibly put you into an annuity or some things that might not be good for you. So rather than, I'm just telling you why I'm saying this. So rather than take the risk of that, my first inclination is to say, leave it where it is. And put 60% of it in the G fund. Because I'd rather that than risk, you know, it going into an annuity, an insurance annuity. And I'm afraid that might be what's on their mind. It usually is. So that's the main reason. There's nothing wrong with the G fund. You're going to get a pretty decent return, better than anything you could get in a CD, and you preserve your money. It is biblically responsible. The C fund would not be, but you have a small percentage there. But at some point in time, it's going to be in your best interest to develop an income portfolio with individual stocks that will be beneficial to you moving into the future. You are young. You know, you're retired and you're using this money. You're young. You need this money. You want to hold on to it. And I don't want you to take too much risk with that money and risk a market downturn and losing a significant portion of that. Because you're young, you don't want to risk outliving your resources and your money. And the one of the ways that you help not do that is to be fairly conservative and not take too many risk. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It does make sense, yeah. But, you know, the question I had, you were mentioning with the traditional IRA, and you said you were saying that it might turn into an annuity thing. Could you explain that a little more?
I would just say that, I mean, if... Let me put it a better way, I guess. If you have a lot of faith and confidence in this person, then roll it over. That's fine. I want you to follow your instincts. But I wouldn't want you to roll it over and them not fully invested in an income portfolio that is preserving some of your principal and allowing you an opportunity to make some money on it and putting you into an insurance product of an annuity. And I'm afraid that they'll do that, which I don't think would be in your best interest.
Yeah. And I, you know, I also like the thing of not having all my eggs in one basket kind of thing too. You know, I wondered about that.
Well, I don't consider, so all your eggs, a basket is an investment. So if you have all your eggs in one investment, like if you had all your money in one particular investment, that would be a problem. But if you have all your eggs in various different baskets, even though it's all under the same roof of a Merrill Lynch or a E-Trade or a Fidelity or something like that, that's different. Because you're still getting the diversification, but you're just seeing it all on one statement. So that's not, so a company is not a basket. So you can't say, well, I have it all in one company. No, it's what the company's doing with it. Are they diversifying it properly? And if that's the case, then it's fine. So I wouldn't worry about that. I immediately a red flag comes up when somebody says, I think you ought to roll this TSP over into the IRA, into our account. That means they have something probably in mind. And I just don't want that to be an insurance annuity. I don't think you need to be in insurance products. You need to be in investments.
Okay. Right, right.
So that's okay, right. That's why I say that. But if you have faith and confidence, you know, and feel like, well, they're not going to do that, they're going to do the right thing, then that's fine too. You know, I leave that up to you. I don't know the person.
Right. Yeah. I definitely, like you were suggesting, I think it's probably wise to go more conservative, though, if I'm going to leave it in the thrift savings.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your counsel there.
You're welcome, Cindy. I'm glad you called.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Right. Thank you. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. 707-5533. We're going to go to break. As soon as we get back, we're going to hit the phones again. Folks, the best investment you could make, there's so many great ones. There are good ones, even right now. There's some great ones out there. But the best one you could make is preborn. And how about investing in saving the life of a baby? And, you know, we came alongside them as one of our ministry partners. And we try to, yes, we're sharing our donors and we're sharing all of that with another organization. We do that with Liberty Council and a couple other organizations that we talk about. It's important that we're all about the business of truth, kingdom work. And I don't think there could be anything better than saving the lives of babies. And this is an organization that supplies ultrasound machines to pregnancy centers all around the country. And for $140, by dialing pound 250, that's the phone number, pound 250, and using a keyword baby when they ask you, you can save the lives of five babies. When these young mothers go into a center and they're thinking about having an abortion, they don't know it's a Christian center. They don't know they're going to hear about Jesus, but they do get an ultrasound and hear a heartbeat, see that baby. And more than 80% of the time,